doing something illegal watching me in this bunker.
No, we're not doing anything illegal. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. What Embargo is back with my co-host, Yellow Snapper. Max, you will have a fish's name by the end of the show. But we got a special guest tonight. We got a special show going on. We have Max Fernandez. Max Fernandez. I know there's also Pulas at the end. I don't know if that's the full name. From Cas Fernandez.
Yeah, we're the same. Nicaragua. And Agonorsa.
Agonorsa. So we're going to talk about Cas Fernandez, Agonorsa, and all things nice. June, any introductions from your end?
No, I just, man, Max, you probably don't watch our shows, nor should you.
Well, I got to be in the tobacco, otherwise I'm just a pretender, no?
But, man, if we don't talk about Cuban cigars, we talk about Agonorsa. We talk about Illusion.
That means a lot.
Worked and all that. So, but we're super excited to have you and get to talk about tobacco and know about you and everything. So thanks for being on, man. Appreciate it.
Well, I can't take any of the credit because I'm just a young guy trying to come out with crazy good products at the high level on the cigar side with Agonorsa. But my dad, our family's been bringing over Cuban experts for a long time. They really set up the platform with Agonorsa. So I'm just a minor representative in like a chain of events. Now, you know, cigars have been going on for a long time. So,
well, we're excited. You should take credit for it. We're going to give you credit for it. But we're going to dive right in. And the first question I have, and I think June would agree, and I think everybody knows, well, not everybody. A lot of people know Dion Luzion.
Yeah.
Warped is coming bigger.
Yeah.
But for some reason, is and even Agonorsa seem to fly under the radar, which in some ways is cool because then it's like if I ever see Cas Fernandez products, I know I can usually hoard them. But can you give everybody a brief history on Cas Fernandez, Agonorsa, explain the whole relationship?
Well, my dad's more of the founder of those. So he came in 1998 and he had this opportunity to work with farming cooperatives and local farmers in Nicaragua when there was a bit of a gap in like the history with the companies that were already there. And he was able to get possibly some of the very best farms. They're definitely in the top 10 in the different regions in Esteli, Jalapa, Condega. And so Agonorsa, if you know tobacco is not the same unless it's the best soil. That's how Cuba works, Huerta Bajo and Pinar del Rio. And Nicaragua is the same thing for me. It's the best soil, the best farm practices, and otherwise your factory is nothing. But I have no problem with what you were saying about us operating in the shadows because, I mean, I'm not in this business for the money per se. What I like is just making a premium product. That's what I enjoy, you know? Just like those of us who like beer, bourbon, wine, whatever it is. I just enjoy when you taste all those flavor notes, which is what Agonorsa tries to hit, just like Cuban cigars for me are the only comparison in hitting all those flavor notes of complexity. If I'm going to make cigars, which are supposedly unhealthy, the FDA says, I'm going to make sure that it's a complete experience, you know, on the leaf side. But
well, you make a premium product, that's for sure.
We're pretty purist about doing Nicaragua at the level that Cuba does it in terms of the leaf in the traditional sense and with the old methods. But we just try to, now we've raised the factory of Tabson. We just want the construction to match how good the leaf is. That's what our job of late has been.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that, Max? Can you elaborate a little bit more on when you say, so I hear you say, you know, it all sort of starts with really good soil. When you talk about giving tradition and in the old school method, you know, what do you mean by that specifically?
Tobacco can really be rushed because depending on when you need it. And it really makes a difference to control the whole process just because the first steps of when it's in the tobacco house is going to determine all the flavor later. The processing, which Cuba has this system because of their escogida, their deveining of the leaf, their selection of the leaf. That's why their tobacco is second to none as well, apart from the soil. And if you control all of those steps, that determines your cigar much more than what happens in the factory, for me. And it's just about giving those the proper time and process, which the companies that are successful obviously do.
Okay. And can you give us a little bit more insight as to what you, like what your specific role is for Aganorsa? And
So I just, I think Nicaragua has been changing a lot because of people like Jonathan Drew, Pedro, whoever's in AJ Fernandez, whoever's in Nicaragua lately. It's changed so much in the last 5-10 years, but you know, we do things a little different, and with the people we work with, they also want to do things a little different in the sense they want to be purist about doing cigars in the way that it was pre-embargo, let's say, in a sense. So like lately I've just been excited about, like with Warped, doing those 40 Vitola ring gauges. With Ilusione, it's about making that medium Cubanesque profile, but with Nicaraguan leaf, which is powerful, where everyone else is trying to go strong and, you know, Esteli power. We're like trying to see, how do you make Nicaragua the best cigar, best leaf in the world? You know, not, but being Nicaraguan in its essence. There's so many people using like broadleaf and Habano from Ecuador, but that's never been our gig. So like, I saw you rated, we did a Connecticut, we did a Habano, and we can play with those leaves, but what we always do our forte is get rated by aficionados when it's Corojo that we've grown on our farms, no?
Yeah. Totally. So when you say tradition, and you know, I've read and you see these, you know, photos and social media, it seems that when you're blending and working together, that it's not like just one guy or two individuals. No. It seems like it's a very big group family effort. Yeah.
It's not any of us either. It's the client has the biggest sway, obviously, because
like,
we open our doors fully. In that sense, we're leaf growers. First, we let the client have the first pick of all the leaves. So with Ilusione, it's a special process where he's gotten to know the farm so well, and he selects it based off certain lots on the farms. And that's the way we like it. We want the client to become knowledgeable. You know how smokers have become educated lately? And we want...
No, I don't know. They're all idiots.
Well, like what you guys are doing. You know?
Yeah, I understand.
So we want the client to have the most say, but for that, they have to educate themselves about tobacco while they're working with us. We're not just going to hoist a blend, you know?
Yeah, so you're going to have them go in there, figure it out. You're going to help them, and then they're going... You want them to create it, but you want to give them the knowledge to create it of the product, of your tobacco.
Yeah, we just try to rough out the edges. That's where Arsenio's expertise, or like my regularity in blending with people like Ilusione or Warped or Viaje, we just rough out the edges around the concept, no? Because we know what tobacco is, performs this way or that way.
And for those of us, you know, for people that don't know, can you tell who like Arsenio is and like who Max, I mean, you're, but like,
who are you?
You know, pretty much the guys that, you know, make Aganorsa. Can you kind of go through your, essentially, like your family?
So since 1998, my dad's been bringing Cuban experts over. He's brought over 20 different people who've been like ministers of tobacco in Cuba, all sorts of positions, because he wanted that level of excellence. But Arsenio's just stuck. He was a head of processing of tobacco in the Cuban Pinar del Rio. And somehow, because of familiarity, he's just become a master blender with Nicaraguan leaf. And I mean, within our circles, we've said that he's taught raíces cubanas to blend. He's taught Pepin to blend a little bit, just between us, you know, like he's had an influence because he knows the leaf, you know. After that, raíces, Pepin, they've gone to work with their own farms. But for a Cuban to get to know Nicaraguan leaf, it's not an overnight process, no?
Yeah, no, it's...
It's a lot of experiments.
So Pepin kind of studied under Arsenio.
Yeah, I shouldn't talk more about this, but it's not studying under, but it's collaborating with. You know, when you're working in an environment, things rub off on each other. So,
Well, I was going to make a joke there, but I didn't want to piss off the My Father family, so we're gonna move on from there. I don't want to get myself in too much trouble. Yeah. So,
I have a question for you. So when I think about Agonorsa tobacco, I think about the famed Nicaraguan, you know, Corojo and Criollo wrapper leaves.
Yeah.
So when I in regards to binder leaf and fillers, are you guys using your own farm for those, or are most of that outsourced?
No, we use all our own leaf. So other varieties like Carano 92 for filler has been popular lately, and other newer hybrids. But we've had experiments with those, but we really stick to Corojo and Criollo the full way through. Mm. And on most of the blends, I mean, it just depends, because the Esteli farms we have, they have a specific like woody, nutty flavor that, for in that case, we will put a binder because we want that body in the cigar. But otherwise, a lot of these smooth cigars have the Corojo binder just with the sweetness on the palate.
That's it.
Cool. As much as
Agonorsa cigars are like strong-ish, you know, versus the market, they end up being sweet, you know. And Dion always says, water to the palate.
There's always a sweetness with your cigars, and I always kind of, I don't know if that's kind of like the Jalapa tobacco, or just the blend in general. But they do have strength and body, but they're very balanced. Yeah. And they're complex.
That's kind of the influence of Arsenio, the amount of Jalapa tobacco and amount of Corojo we use, because other people use a lot of Havana 92, which has slightly a salty taste, which it's sweet, but it's also more licorice-y, more, it's not very sweet.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about Agonorsa tobacco? Oh, sorry, Seth. Go ahead.
No, what were you going to, go ahead, June.
I was going to say, for me, you know, I've been one of those smokers in which I started off smoking a lot of Nicaraguan tobacco back in, gosh, like maybe like 9-10 years ago. And I left and I smoked exclusively Cuban cigars for about a couple of years. And one of the reasons, and I'm not saying this to like, you know, give you a big head or anything, but it is what it is. So why I came back to Nika tobacco is I found what especially Dion was doing with, you know, the Corojo and Criollo. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, man, like, yeah, I mean, something I learned this year was I do like stronger cigars to the extent that it carries along with full flavors and concentrated flavors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're memorable in that sense.
Yeah. And I feel like Agonorsa stuff just delivers that so much. Like, I mean, I think about like Dion's original documents, and I could go from, you know, I could smoke like his Epernay in the beginning and then move into like maybe like the MK stuff, and then finish off with like the Ultra, right? And that's my perfect day of smoking. I'll be able to taste every single one of those cigars throughout that transition, you know?
I think, I don't know why Americans are enjoying Nicaraguan cigars so much, but I'll just throw something out there that we like bold flavors. Like, think about wine, or think about beer, the barrel aged and the IPAs. Like, we like it to have that in your face, but complex flavor. I don't know. I think of Dion, whether it's an Epernay or an Ultra, it's doing a bit of that, no?
Yeah. No way. Yeah. In some ways, Fumé de Mor and Epernay, it's kind of a little over the head for some Americans, if that makes sense. I think it may be just,
I understand,
it's too sophisticated, not to criticize Americans. Okay. But aggressive. Yeah, no, but they're amazing blends. And he shows, this is what you guys have done, and I think I give you guys a lot of credit for this, is for a long time people said, let's have a mild cigar, we need a Connecticut wrapper. And you guys said, no, we'll deliver you a milder cigar in terms of strength, but we're not going to substitute any of the flavors in the body, and we're going to deliver a complex, amazing cigar. And that's what you guys have been able to deliver, which for June and I, who also enjoy Cubans.
It's not always perfectly easy. A lot of the credit for Epernay goes to Hugo and Romay at Rices and Honduras.
Okay.
It's got its little hiccups sometimes, because there's only certain farms and that delivers that profile in Nicaragua, you know, unless you wash the tobacco. To keep it smooth like that, it takes a...
So there's certain farms throughout... Are they within certain regions? Are they like...
Yeah, there's a specific farm in... There's a farm in each region that Dion likes, but there's one farm in Jalapa that gives it that smoothness. It's there's another one in Condega that has that smoothness, but with like a hint of nutmeg and spiciness to it. But yeah.
Can you take me to that farm and I'll never leave? I'll just stay there. I can do whatever I need to do, but yeah.
Well,
I'll live in a barn.
We have to create that Chateau Fuente experience one day.
If there's one company that should create an experience, I think you guys could really have an amazing experience and really give a lot to so many people. We talked a little about Corojo and Criollo, and it seems that there's you guys have focused more on Corojo and less on Criollo, and then Dion changed Cruzado from predominantly Criollo to more Corojo, which kind of it made me cry a little bit. I'm not gonna lie to you. Is there a reason?
You smoked the new one?
I have not smoked the new one yet.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm still
hold up on the crying.
I'm still working on my Criollo departure. Is there a reason that you guys are you not using as much Criollo or?
I'm not in Dion's brand and the mentality, but I'll just say that him working at Tabso a lot more in the direct blending, he just finds materials that he can make it work with Corojo because the farm that year, let's say there was a year recently where it didn't rain at a certain time and it meant that the tobacco was stronger, it had more oil, so the Corojo could behave a little bit more like Criollo. So there's just, that's why Dion does the Singulata, because there's limited batches, because every crop year is a different type of leaf. But so he found the newer leaf, we've improved the soil so much that, I don't know, Corojo can have the complexity that he wants in Cruzado, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to smoke it. I'll probably love it.
No, I know that the other one, the Morales, was one of his best.
Oh, it was fantastic. There's a lot of great Cruzado. I could talk about that all day. So, June, you have another question right now?
Yeah, so kind of going on the questions and discussion of tobacco-centric, I guess. I realized, for instance, like Warped came out with a Caliente shade cigar, Casa Fernandez as well, and the Agro Chile, and so did Dion. So, why did you guys decide to do that? It seems like in general there's more of a recent-ish wave in Connecticut shade cigars out there. What was
Agamorsa
and Casa Fernandez
and his reasoning behind
coming out with these?
The market does have a taste for Havana and Connecticut, that's for sure. But I guess, we sell Agamorsa to so many people and they use it, like big people in Nicaragua and Dominican and Honduras, and they use it, but it's good to do it yourself, like to give your own statement. So if there's going to be a Connecticut or Havana, you might as well try what our way of playing with that leaf would taste like, just because we have a different sense of preparing the material and making a cigar. So it's just a more individualized effort. So we might as well try it if everyone is using a little bit of our stuff. So Warped was using some of our material at Titan de Bronze, where they make La Palina. With some of with Armedio Tiempo, and I just thought, can we make something that is on a similar level to that, you know?
So they buy some of your Armedio Tiempo.
I really like this Don Reynaldo, so I kind of wanted to have my own and my bodega, you know? I know it's not similar. It's two apples and oranges, but I just wanted to have my own thing that was in another leaf, you know?
Yeah, what's your version of those releases? Have you guys thought about, like, you mentioned Connecticut shade. Have you guys ever thought of, or are you thinking about using leaves like Connecticut broadleaf, Ecuador and Sumatra? Yes, no.
We've been very close to going down that road. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And the FDA situation, we're unsure if that's a possibility. But
What's the situation with the F? I'm just kidding. So,
the situation.
Yeah, you have to make a joke about it. We have to keep this somewhat light.
Well, I mean, it's important for people like your viewers to be a little upset, you know, or want to be called.
Yeah, as they get upset, you know, I allow them to go to, and I'm just going to say Coop because I love them. I allow them to go to like Cigar Coop and Half Wheel so they can take it in the depression. And then when they come here, we can laugh about it. It's part of life. It's yin and yang.
Well, there's a little mini boom coming with everyone bringing unlimited Cubans over. I don't know. Your show is.
If you want to get involved in a conversation on Facebook, you're more than welcome. There's a huge debate going on that I don't really know. Yeah, you don't want to get involved in that. I want to ask about Medio Tiempo. And I know it's been around. I think Coquiba Bahique gave it a really big, big shout out. And you guys kind of picked up off of that, in my opinion, and have taken it to a whole new level, a better level.
I don't know about that.
Yes, you have. You really have. Different. And it's no, but it is different. But
what Cuba tries to do is scale up everything to export mass. They can't do that with Medio so much. But.
Yeah, but what you guys did in. This is, you know, you have Skyflower and you have Florida Valley. And you can, Skyflower, when you smoke that cigar, this is warp for all the people out there, you can see Florida Valley, and you can taste it. Yeah. But along with that, you taste that Medio Tiempo. And what Cuba did with the Cohiba Bahique is they didn't do that. They didn't say, here's Cohiba, and then here's Cohiba with Medio Tiempo.
Wait a minute. Seth, Cuba did that with the original release of the Bahique in 2010. Since then, it's
okay. Shut up, June.
Cuba is that's a big source of income for their government. So they've just scaled it.
Yeah.
Medio Tiempo leaf, there's not very little of it, you know? So I do appreciate Power for that reason, that people can see the difference and really get to appreciate that leaf. Because otherwise, no factories would touch it. No, but if people know about it more. It doesn't work with all cigars. Like, what's funny is that after a cigar like Skyflower, people will tell you to throw it in, but it doesn't work with everything. It has to, you can get lost easily because it gives like this depth to the blend. And if the blend is already like meaty and chewy, it's not gonna, the Medio is not gonna dominate in a good way.
It's gonna be too much.
It's like a broadleaf may dominate in a good way, and Medio it helps with like nuanced blends to sort of elevate them a bit. Yeah.
So how would you describe it? How would you describe Aganorsa and Medio Tiempo?
Well, because as you know, it's the top leaf in the Ligero. It's these very thick crocodile skin leaves, so it's got a lot of oil on it, and if you process tobacco correctly, so I don't know if everyone's Medio is the same. I don't, you know, I've seen a lot of Cuban bales or leaves, but I haven't seen a lot of Medio per se. I think our Medio is very specific because it's from these certain farms every year. We're just seeing a reiteration of it, like a grape harvest. And because of the way we process it with our Cubans, ours is this oily, thick, and yet it's not like. If you burn tobacco, it can get unpleasant tasting. The Medio could very easily have this charcoal or cocoa or slightly acidic taste. But when we get it right, it doesn't have that. It has a lot of nuances of, you know, nuts, wood, whatever else.
I love it in the blends. And I've smoked them, you know. So, like, you know, Kyle's done a very good job of specifying which one has Medio Tiempo, which one doesn't. And it's great to see the changes. And it's, you can tell, I mean, you can notice the body increase, the strength increase. And I personally love the flavors that come with it. It always has this rich, nutty, metallic, chocolatey kind of flavors, but it's very enjoyable. I love where it takes the cigar. I don't know how you feel, June.
No, I feel like there's such a richness in like oil content. You know how some cigars, you get like a really like oily pop and zing in your mouth? I think Medio Tempo does that really amplified. And sometimes for me, it's a little too amplified. In which I feel like aging, you know, Medio Tempo cigar that has those leaves, well, typically, you know, I think that'll prove, hopefully, a really good cigar for aging it. So I don't know yet, though, because I haven't smoked anything that has aged it. So
they age well.
No.
Yeah, I think so, because it's got the oils, like the tannin, so it's
going
to hold up well, whereas a blend with Seco just won't age decades, let's say.
What are you drinking, by the way, Max? I think I'm drinking beer or whiskey.
He just dumped it in there. He just dumped it in the glass, which I love.
I picked up this Wicked Weed Metatropics. Some,
oh, yeah.
Beer fan, huh?
Yeah.
Man, you really are in North Carolina.
Yeah, man. Wicked Weed is like major stuff over there. That's like all the beer geeks over there trying to hunt for that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I used to live in the Bay Area, so I'm like compared to Russian River. And
stuff. Oh, shit. We're in the Bay Area. I live in the Bay Area right now.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I lived in Berkeley and Oakland. Where are you at? You're in.
Oh, you know where Danville is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm over there. I'm if you like sour stuff, I go to Berkeley a lot to go to the Rare Barrel to
oh, get yeah?
sours.
Nice.
Yeah. Well,
now Max is like, now I know never go to Danville. So. No. But yeah, I mean, yeah, because you're in North Carolina.
Luckily, you two live in places with beer culture.
Yeah.
Well, June and I kind of are beer culture, so it's one of those things. We will find the beer and we will make the culture. So
bring it to your bunker.
Yeah, it's my bunker, man. Shoot up a flare gun. You can come down here. We'll take care of you. You'll be alive for a little while. So what's the favorite cigar? What's your favorite cigar that you make?
It really switches quick because it's like one exciting thing after another. So. For a minute, it was Dion's new Ultra. It's like a 4.25x50.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was, for a little bit, it was Kyle's new Maestro, the 100 count cab.
Great cigar.
Before it was like the Futuro, because that was my first like thing where I said that I was involved in it with Kyle, and I liked the Criollo chewiness of that cigar. I don't know. I don't like to settle on one because I like the whole range of like palate stimulation, kind of, you know.
Yeah,
but I do gear towards stronger cigars just because I smoke a lot.
So we've been mainly talking about, you know, having Aganorsa be associated with, of course, Casa Fernandez, Wharf, Illusioni. Are there other guys out there that that you use, you know, your tobacco? That some may not be familiar with. I mean, for now, I could think of a Rainer's HBC that I really like. But.
Yeah, of stuff we make, just we've made Viaje, HBC, Ezra Zion, just...
The old Ezra, right? Yeah. Some of the older stuff they came out with?
Yeah. Old what?
For Ezra Zion, is it like, like the
we back... We made all the original silver ones.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, the tantrums and stuff. Right.
So how do you guys go through your selection of who you want to work with? I mean, did I have to submit a cover letter and a resume or like, you know?
No, the good thing about the tobacco industry is anyone can make a cigar, and we're not. We like working with everyone. Everyone brings a different thing to the table, different expertise, because if we didn't let everyone in the door, my dad likes leaving an open door, whether it's tobacco or cigars, and if we didn't work with everyone, then we'd be like single-minded in our mentality. But I enjoy working with a whole variety of people. I want to see like each of the clients grow into a respective niche, no? Because I think Nicaragua has that flavor range where it's like Cuba, it can achieve that flavor range. I don't know, I'm not discriminating against other countries, but I'm kind of pro Nicaragua. Once you get to live there, like someone like Nick Melillo did, you just get to really appreciate the people and like their intent to build this cigar city, you know?
Oh yeah, and also Nick's Wei Wen Sei, that's a Aganorsa Puro kind of a cigar too.
Last year,
so we've talked where we talked about growing Nicaragua, you're very pro Nicaragua, which I don't blame you. If you could grow anywhere else, you could have farms. I'm saying, here you go. Here are your farms. Where would you want them to be?
Well, we've given seed to people in a lot of countries. So in a sense, through other people, we have grown in other countries, but
yeah.
The obvious answer is just Cuba. No,
that's all. Yeah. And well, I didn't know, man.
There have been blends that for other countries that not made it in Nicaragua, but there have been blends with Cuba and Nicaraguan tobacco, and those are the only other ones that excite me. Yeah. Because just Cuba has that unique flavor, you know.
It does. I think every country has that flavor. I think the uniqueness. I think Honduras does too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You guys do a lot of work with, you know, Mexican San Andreas.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Is that your kind of like secondary wrapper of choice? Is that what made you choose it, or what made you guys want to work with that one, or choose that as kind of like your Maduro, I guess you could say.
One of our clients brought it in. The thing about broadleaf that we didn't go that direction is that, and we could have also done a Habano Maduro, is that mm-hmm. Arsenio doesn't like a single material to over dominate in a blend. So what we feel about Maduro is that it tones down some of the strength of Nicaragua materials, but it really partners up with them well.
Yeah.
And the other materials, they give a different profile, but we don't really want to change too much from the Nicaraguan profile. Like, we only use the Maduro as a wrapper. Some people use it as a binder. Some people use other countries as binder. We only use a wrapper because we really want the predomination of the Nicaraguan flavors. And just if we're making a Criollo blend, like the Aganorse Leaf Maduro, that has a lot of Criollo or Esteli, we like it. That San Andreas brings the strength down just a little bit, and it just adds some smoothness. So that's has that advantage where, yeah, it just partners well for us because we have that very Cuban traditional mentality.
There's balance. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's balance. This continuous theme of balance, which. That's probably why June and I are really gravitated towards the blends that come out of your factories. And you guys have three factories.
Yeah, no, we do. Well, we make in other factories, but we have Miami, Nicaragua, and now we just opened a second one in Nicaragua and Jalapa.
So Sabor is in Jalapa.
Yeah, there's one in Jalapa, one in Esteli, and one in Miami.
Now, Dion works mostly out of Topsa and Esteli.
Esteli and Honduras with Epernay.
Honduras. Has he ever thought about, well, I know that's him, that's not your thing, but have you ever like thought about having him do something in Miami?
He's very proud of the Nicaraguan thing, too.
Like, yeah.
There's a reason that it's because of his nostalgic experience of why he got into cigars. And just when you're creating a brand, I should say the Nicaragua story is a very strong story to use. I mean, Nicaragua didn't mean so much 10 years ago, but now everyone puts it on their product, whatever mix of materials it has. But it's important for Dion or for certain of our clients. The made in Nicaragua is like a stamp of pride, no? For Cuban Americans, Miami is a fun thing to do, but it's a lot of American clients, they've really come to They know the tobacco comes from Nicaragua, so why pretend otherwise by making it in states? Like, the story is one thing, and it's Nicaraguan materials and rollers and everything. You know, the way of rolling is different, though.
So, Max, so let's not talk about the looming FDA and all that kind of BS. But you know, for the future, what does Aganorsa, Casa Fernandez, what does that hold? I mean. I for instance went to AJ's factory earlier this spring, and like he showed us some of the hybrid tobacco that he's growing and all that, But you know, it's like years out, right? So he doesn't even know if it's going to grow, first of all, and if it's going to grow well. But you know, are you guys working on that kind of a stuff, or are you going to stick mainly with your thing, you know, Corojo Carrillo stuff?
I guess we're in the same. We like keeping our eggs in the Corojo Criollo basket, but we do have pilones of material because we have a lot of pre-industrias where they prepare the leaf. We have a lot of those, so we definitely do have those hybrids that Plasencia or AJ. We do have those, but we haven't really predetermined like where we're going to use them. And I do like some of the flavors. They have some different combinations of flavors, or since they're hybrids, they're kind of like a mix of, let's say, Habano, Criollo, Corojo, like a little bit of this, a little bit of another thing. But it really depends on, I don't know, whatever the brand, when it pops up, when the right brand comes up, that it seems like a good idea to do that. And you can't decide that ahead of time. The market kind of tells you a lot of time.
And another question about, I want to go back to talking more about like tobacco stuff, but so I'm reminded of the Futuro that you blended and the new one that I think is Guardian of the Farms, right?
Yeah.
So how do you blend a cigar? Like how do you go in there and how do you get it? Do you have like a preconceived notion of what you want to make? Like how do you start? Like I'm curious how always blending stuff happens.
So one, because we have our own farms that are very good, we know which lots are good. So let's say we take out those good lots that we really like those materials, and how are we going to make those work? Let's say Nicholas Melillo of Foundation came and he wants to make this material, which he's tried when he was buying for Drew Estate. He want to try to make that material work in a blend and make a difference. So with something like Futuro, in Arsenio's head as a master blender, he like remembers the flavors of all the blends in a sense, remembers how they combine, and you do have like a muscle memory about that stuff. And so when you start a new blend, I'm going to be a bit of a asshole, pretend it's complicated when it's not, but it's kind of, I can pretend it's art because to enjoy it more when you actually do it. But you know that film Enigma about code breaking? Let's say there's a code that you had for one blend. You did it this combination of materials. Then another blend, you just try, what if we did the inverse, but we try to create that same profile, but just with different flavor notes. Because what in the end, what we're playing with is not all these different materials from all these different countries. We're playing with Aganorsa from Nicaragua. But that has many different, a huge range, because there's all these different farm lots, different soils, climate, microclimates, water supplies. The farm matters so much in that. And it's about balance, like you say. So when we start a new blend, it's like, how do you find that balance, but with this slightly reversed binary code, you know?
So like you go through that smoking through just like singular leaves and rolling up little, what do you pillow cells and stuff, or how do you go about it?
Yeah, that's important too, because sometimes you start a blend and there's this one material that's just screwing up all your stuff, and you have to actually smoke them, because some materials are just very good and you have to search for those because we have so much material. And it does make a huge difference when you find a material you like, say, I want, like Dion and Singulata, I want all those five blends, or Kyle with Skyflower, Medio Tempo, those blends which are from the same lot, I need those because I don't want any screw-ups. Smoking them individually helps a lot. I know a lot of people, it's great that a lot of people come into Nicaragua and you smoke the leaf individually in like the Drew Estate tours. And I'm impressed when I see people in the States and they've gotten a hold of leaf and they're rolling cigars and like smoking individual leaves, because that's what we do. And if you do want to know more, somehow you have to take apart bad cigars and smoke them individual leaf. My dad says you dissect a cigar because you can realize this one was raw, this one was maybe from a good farmer or a bad farmer. You can really understand a lot more of cigars if you do go down to the level. Yeah. So I'm happy for more people to come down to Nicaragua, whether it's Rocky, AJ, Drew, us, Pepin, whoever it is. I think it's good.
Go ahead, Jim. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you first.
I was going to – oh, you're so kind. Usually you're a dick. All right. Anyways. I when I was at AJ, we went to, like, his different inventory, and I just smoked, you know, singular leaves and stuff. And it was hard because, you know, I will smoke some stuff, and I was talking to Raymond. I think he's one of, like, AJ's brother-in-law, I think. Anyways, you know, Raymond would be like, well, what are you tasting this? And I'll say, well, I don't taste anything. And he'll be like, oh, that's because this leaf is used primarily as a binder for combustion. So things like that. So that got me thinking, and I've always had a problem with, because, like, when I get into something, I first got into wine when I was in college, and then subsequently, like, craft beer and whiskey. Yeah. I like to know how it's made, like, or how I could be a better taster.
No, I like to hear people talk about that stuff, whether it's the mash or it's the wine, the yeast or whatever it is. Yeah.
So, well, like, don't listen to him with wine. He drinks Franzi out of a box, for Pete's sakes.
Oh, yeah, I'll do something.
Yeah. That's right. And I put vodka in it. But how could we as cigar geeks and just enthusiasts be smarter smokers? Cigar enthusiasts, rather. In your opinion.
Read.
I don't know.
Smoke weed? Get high?
I don't know. No.
All I can say is something silly like start a tobacco farm, which is totally... I don't know. When Cuba opens up and people start visiting Nicaragua more, I just think it's that interaction what you guys are doing. I really don't know how you...
Get to the farm. Get to the farm. Understand the raw product.
It's just the same way of wine or beer. Let's say you or I, we're not going to have the money to make our own wine, but why not always ask those questions, or always, like, if we do visit the winery, look at the map, understand the grapes, the farming, and all those things. If you taste beers with really bad hops, you really need to understand the farm first. You need to try to understand a little bit of the whole process, because you can't just see the rolling of the cigar. So that's, I guess, what I'd say. When you look at a cigar, it just looks like a cigar, but you have to understand that on the leaf level, just like in wine or beer, you would, or bourbon, whiskey, you would the same. So, You try to understand it at its basis levels and learn more about that.
No, for sure. I mean, I think it serves people. And everyone that I meet on, like, you know, different cigar forums that I'm part of and whatever, that I was like, man, when I went down to Nika for the first time ever earlier this year, I was like, it makes a huge difference. You know, like, people just got to do it, right? Without doing it, you'll never really understand the art of it, your own taste buds, learning about it, right? Like, just, it was cool.
No. Yeah, I'm not saying you got to do it, but if you do it, like, you don't need to learn everything at once. Like, if you learn about one thing, whether it's medio or if it's like Seco Criollo or what's the most important leaf in AJ's enclave, if you learn about that one thing that's like giving you that flavor you like, that's a big step forward. No, like, I think learning happens in blocks like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's if the
use it as a foundation and build up from it.
Right, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that's what I meant. I mean, and that's to the extent that the cigar manufacturer is able to, you know, disclose what leaves that they exactly use. You know what I mean? And which that itself is typically not out there, right? And that's what they think, like bourbon, beer, you know, like all these guys, they don't want to give away their super sauce, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think we're all equally intelligent, so it's not like people on the cigar side have any special knowledge. You or anyone to take a tour of Nicaragua, you smoke the materials and you're not smoked out because you need nicotine tolerance on some of these visits. You do go like that one day on a clean palate and say, I'm going to smoke these leaves with the real attention to it. I think then you figure out a lot more because in a lot of visits, you're getting all this information, but the most important thing is the individual components.
Max, you bring out the positive in us, because you said everyone is equally intelligent, and usually June and I would be like, no, we are. There's people who are far from equally intelligent, but some of them know people. But so we just got to focus on certain tobaccos. So if I want to start growing some of your tobacco in Virginia, I have some land in Virginia.
No, it's feasible.
It's feasible.
It's not that hard for us to get you.
Oh my goodness gracious! Why, June? Remember this day, because I'm going to grow some of the best grow in Virginia.
Oh, you're full of shit. You're not going to grow anything. You're going to go back. And you're going to go buy another box of whatever.
It's going to be Virginia grow in about 5 years. People are going to be like, "Wow, look at that!"
The problem isn't planting it. It's the whole thing. Like, you can grow it tall, but the problem is cutting it at the right time and hanging it at the right time.
You're going to come and help me, Max.
Well, I mean, that's what Jeff of Corona's done in Florida. Like, he took some seeds from other people as well as us, and he just started experiments with the different varieties. And
the Florida homegrown stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
Now he's doing brands with a lot of major manufacturers.
So, away from tobaccos and cigars, you have Vitolas. What is like the perfect size for you? What is the size that you like to smoke?
I'll just rewind one side. I don't know if we're supposed to say this, but we're working on some of that Florida tobacco. So if you were to grow tobacco in Virginia, we could process it the Aganorsa way. Let's say you just do the farming setup. But lately with Vitolas, what I'm enjoying is anything like 48, I guess.
Yeah.
Just because of some of the best cigars that we've done with Warped or with Melillo that I like is Corona. A lot of my favorite recent cigars have been that either a little 4x50 type thing or a 5 5/8 by 46, that sort of smaller range. Course.
What do you think of Fitz Churchill? Because I think, you know, you go ahead. What do you think of Elwood Wednesday Churchill?
I think I don't want to describe it because I know the blend, but I really enjoy it. It's different from anything we make with Aganorsa. tell me your thoughts.
The reason I asked is because I don't think there's a lot of people outside of Cuba who really make good traditional churches.
And like double Corona size, Cuban double Corona sizes too.
Well, that too.
Well, tell me, what's your favorite size of in a double Corona?
Well, I mean, when I think of great Churchills,
yeah,
you know, I think of like H. Upmans or Winston, because there's a true Churchill that keeps complexity balance from beginning to end. And when you look at a lot of companies,
tell me the size in inches, just for the layman.
It's like 7.5 by 7 by 47.
Okay.
There's just not a lot of companies outside of Cuba that I think make really great church.
Yeah, I think you may be right. That could be the most classic size, just because it's got the blend directness. But also, if you're looking at someone across the street, that's the classic Cuban-esque image. But maybe that's where we should be going next.
I'm not going to tell. Well, let's put it this way. If you make a Churchill next, I'm super excited, because I'd love to see it. Because, I mean, personally, I love Churchill's, Lonsdale's, Petit Coronas. That's kind of, if you guys made it a traditional true Churchill, I'd be down.
So we've gone from these Corona with Warped and Ilusión & Co. We've gone from these Coronas to Corona Gordas to Lonsdale. So maybe the next logical step is at Churchill.
Yeah. Get the American public to smoke less 6x60 and move them towards double Coronas and Churchills, in my opinion.
Well, it's going to happen regardless, because of Cuba, in a sense.
But hey, I smoked your JFR Lunatic. And that took me... Paul sent it to me. And it's like, I got this huge package at my front door. I was like, what is it? Oh, it's just a JFR Lunatic.
and I lit it up really late in the evening, not thinking how long it would take to smoke. And I look at the clock, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 2:30 in the morning, it's still like 3 inches left. Yeah, it was taking forever. I was like, I can't do this. But it was balanced, there was flavors, it was pretty consistent, but it's, you know, it's just too big for me, but
yeah.
It was still a well-made cigar. And I think that's saying something.
So there's different ways to smoke it, I guess, because Arsenio will say that there's different ways to smoke. Like, you can be puffing, or take one big puff. The Cuban way is to smoke your cigar and then put it down and come back to it during the day, the whole day, you know?
Just smoke one cigar throughout the whole day.
More or less, you know? And the American way is to, like, enjoy several cigars, in a sense.
So Arsenio, when he's not blending, would be to smoke one cigar throughout the entire day.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
Because we make those big sizes, I'm not going to hate on them, but if you think of it, like, let's say we made all our best blends in those huge sizes, like all the cigars from that size. If you smoked it one thing during the day and you had and you're a big person, then it's the same as what we're smoking, no? We don't want to push it. It's just one. I don't know. For our size, the Churchill is perfect.
Yeah, and I'm usually holding Coronas.
June's a big guy. A Corona looks like a little pinky on some people. Wow. And he's a power builder.
Wow, how many Asians my size? I'll tell you that one.
Holy cow, those are huge hands. Jeez.
It's a video. It adds 10 inches on the video.
As 10 inches. Hey, LeBron James, take it easy. So,
Max, you know what? Let's talk a little less about cigars. What else are you into? Like, hobbies, interests? What are they? Like, what are you into?
Well, we got some other things in the work that are sort of Aganorsa, but just our family. We've tried to. I can't get into it, but our whole thing right now is farming. So in Nicaragua, we actually do. We have a slaughterhouse, and we're trying to do more premium meats, pork, and but we're gonna do all sorts of farming. It's not just tobacco, like, whether it's
Are you telling me?
I'm just saying there will be other Aganorsa farming type things, materials,
right on,
products, like manufactured products. In the U.S. market, there's gonna be other
Aganorsa ribs.
How are we going to know about it? You know, are you going to?
Well, it's going to say Aganorsa on it, you schmuck.
I don't know about meat, because the U.S. is the king of meat, but other products that come from Central America that will have Aganorsa name. I'll just talk about like one hypothetical idea.
You drink in the morning, like coffee?
Well, who knows? But it could be like chocolate, or, you know, could be coffee or other things. So that's Nicaragua. When we were at Puro Sabor, the Nicaraguan Cigar Festival last year, I was just watching Jonathan Drew on the stage, and he was talking about how much he was proud of the Nicaraguan people, and Nicaragua wasn't going away. And the cigar thing for me is a base for Nicaragua to just grow in all these other ways. When I go to other places in Latin America, Nicaragua was always a poorer country after the wars, and now it's just got the opportunity to do all these other things and import quality products into the U.S. So Cubans were exiled, and we did tobacco in Nicaragua first, but with Nicaraguans, there's no reason why Nicaragua can't produce other quality products that we can enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. They should. That's great.
Yeah.
That's one step. No, because I like the idea of, I like employing Nicaraguan people. You know how everyone is there's the Christians who come down, and there's the NGOs. It's an exciting thing for me to, one, become more Latin American by leaving Miami and working, operating out of Nicaragua, but two, you know, empower the people there to be managers for us, to start their own business someday. Like, cool thing about Agonorsa is that so many people in the north of Nicaragua have worked with us at some point. So there's just all these people who have a sort of respect, or they like, we're not outsiders at this point, you know? It's
yeah.
It's good to see the growth of northern Nicaragua.
So do you live in Nicaragua or do you live in the States?
I'm in Nicaragua most of the time now, just because doing all these like a normal factory will do a few blends, but we've been doing all these projects with all these clients just to be helpful. I don't know, but that's why I got to be there to oversee it, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't want to send something that's half-assed, kind of.
In the States, where do you live, Max?
Miami. My parents both came in like 1960, political exiles, and for me, what I love, well, I chose cigars because it's like a Cuban-esque thing, but for me, it's really a thing of orgullo. It's a proud thing to be involved in Latin America and in a business there, because, you know, as Cuban American, I want to be fully American, involved in American politics, but I want to be involved in what Cuba becomes. You know, it's not just Barack or Marco Rubio or the Cuban government. I want to see how, you know, Cuban Americans can get out of Miami and be involved in Latin America, you know, not just it's fun to work in different parts of the world. Like, Americans have the advantage of having, we have a huge country and there's so much potential to be a success story, but sometimes America likes to be isolated, and it's exciting for me. People like Jonathan Drew or what I enjoy is, like, you're operating in multiple countries and you're helping the whole chain of people, you know? It's not like I
global economics.
Yeah, it's not like I disagree with Trump about we have to protect American jobs, but I just feel like you have to appreciate that people are doing the system is set up for a reason. It's working well, you know, with whether it's Mexicali growing some product, avocados or whatever, it's Nicaragua making cigars. It's beneficial, and the fact that the FDA comes in and says, they don't realize the implications of, you know, it's helping people. It's not just a smoke and doctors issue.
Well, they don't know it's general, about the cigar industry. I mean, we all know that. I hear you.
Man, we started talking about politics. Got really.
I know.
Well, you're the ones who have this question. What embargo?
Max, you're probably the first educated person that threw at us, and we're stumped. I'm having a Gary Johnson, having a Gary Johnson moment. What is Aleppo? What is one embargo?
I'm like the Cuban American, I'm going to come on. I'm not. Have a voice in what Barack or whoever else decision making. I have a voice, so like, just throw out ideas. I don't know. I like your name. I wanna watch now what you guys do.
No, you don't. Save yourself. You have more productive things to do your time, Max. The one beef I have with you, and this is, I saw this on, are you a Dodgers fan?
Oh yeah. When I used to go to Cubs game as a kid, and that was my favorite place because of how awesome Wrigley is, and Sosa. And I like our oldest Chapman, he's a Cuban guy, but I don't know. The thing I like about the Dodgers is...
Don't avoid the question. Just answer it, Max. Are you a Dodgers fan?
Yes, but why I like the Dodgers is because there's so many Latinos in East LA who like the Dodgers, and it's like a multicultural supporting of the Dodgers. I don't know.
You can't... Hey, how are you going to argue this, Seth? You going to talk bullshit about your Cubs now?
I just
gave a very good cultural.
I wasn't going to get down that road, but since you want to go down that road, listen. I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. I give. And I'm trying to remember. He killed us. He hit the homer game two on Hendricks.
Yeah. He
refused to stay in the Trump Hotel.
Oh yeah.
Which which he refused to stay in Trump Hotel in Chicago. And I was like, I read it and I was like, you know what? I'm okay with the loss in game two because of that. So that's fine. So, but either way, it
worked out for him.
It worked out for him.
I got to support another team because the Florida Marlins, like, I love how we won championships, but it's just the biggest disappointment ever. They took the tax money to build the stadium. And it just makes me sad to try to support that team. It's like the ugliest stadium ever as well.
Well, you know, if you were disappointed with the Florida Marlins fans, you should have become a Cubs fan and just been very disappointed. So, but
I try to make a game a year there. It's a nice place.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful field.
And the best fans.
Oh man, I could tell a story. Great birthday experience. But yeah, so it's just, so you guys have passions. You drink beer, you drink wine.
Yeah, not really. I'm only 26, so I,
holy crap, you're only 26.
Damn, you're young.
I'm not good
for you.
I'm in Nicaragua too, so it's like when I come to the US, why not enjoy like a nice beer? You know,
so you don't have a family. You don't have kids.
No.
Oh man,
I have. No, I'm not gonna joke about that.
Well, when you think about going down that road, give me a call, and I will talk to you about having two kids.
I've heard so many stories about how more than one kid, two kids, takes it over the hill.
Let's put it this way: if you enjoy beer now, you will love beer more once you have kids. June, you too.
Whatever.
How am I younger than you, and I have more twice as many kids as you do?
Well, you guys are in your mid-30s?
No, I'm not in my mid-30s. No. I'm 31.
Shit. Yeah, you guys are young too.
No, wow. June's not yet. June's like 45.
What? Look at this. Look at this Asian skin. This is like...
Look at this Asian skin. Exactly.
It's like 20, bitch, but I'm actually 33. But I look like, you know, younger than that.
You know there's no chicks watching this.
Oh. Hey, actually, we have a very high female.
There might be some other, you know, some broke back.
We have a very high female. It's one of the highest of all the cigar shows. So we have one every other show.
Okay, well, that's important. But Jen just opened himself up to...
Hey, well, Max, I know that you want to know, you are welcome to stay. We could talk. I definitely could ask questions. I love your stuff, but it's been over an hour. If you want to go, I understand. Otherwise, June and I will keep you here.
I want to know what Cubans you guys are smoking on a night like this. Like after, let's say you smoke an Aganorsa or any Nicaraguan cigar, what do you follow? How do you follow that up with a Cuban? What
I don't
because it.
I don't. I mean,
because it's stronger. It's a whole different ballgame.
So for me, if I'm smoking for the most part a non-Cuban cigar, I don't smoke a Cuban cigar afterwards. I actually never do that because I feel like vast majority of Nicaraguan cigars, I mean, a non-Cuban cigars, let's just say in general, right, will overpower and not just overpowering the sense of strength and flavors. So, which is why I don't go from, you know, non-Cuban to Cuban. But, you know, with Cuban cigars, I feel like maybe it's just in my head or it's really on my palate. But I feel like with Cuban cigars, I don't get palate fatigue as much as non-Cuban cigars.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we said in the beginning how much we love Aganorsa stuff. And I mean, I would probably say Aganorsa single-handedly got me back into smoking non-Cuban cigars as compared to like freaking 9 years ago when vast majority, what I feel like, what I now know what I smoked was Pennsylvania broadleaf. And I was like, what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Once you start smoking, you're like, why was I buying this stuff when I was younger?
Well, we all like to switch it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's when it comes to Cubans, which you and I kind of differ, but I smoke a lot of H. Chapman's, Juan Lopez, Bolivar, Ramon Iones. That's kind of where I go. I know June's a big H. Chapman guy.
Port Larned is another one I really like.
So, so if I'm going to be blending this Churchill, the one I got to smoke is the H. Upman Churchill.
H. Upman Sir Winston. Have you ever smoked it?
No.
Do you want to hear? Gosh, let me tell you the story. When I was down at Georgia State back when Nick was still there. I gave him an H. Upman number two.
Yeah.
Have you ever smoked an H. Upman number two?
No.
Okay. So he smokes probably about an inch, maybe an inch and a half. He's sitting right next to Willie Herrera. And then he just kind of puts it down. He's like, yeah, it was okay. I just need some broadleaf. And I was just like, and I was with Ben Lee of Steggy Review. And I was just like, are you kidding me, man? Like, listen, I love your broadleaf too, but it's, you know, but it's, that's just
what I was really asking. Good. It's hard to switch between them on the same day.
No. Yeah, it's once you.
But I was gonna say, Max. You know, I do agree with Seth in the sense of there's very few true Churchills and double Coronas in the non-Cuba market. That's good. That'll keep my attention, right? But there's quite a few in Cuba. So if you guys want to take that endeavor with Aganorsa, which I think Aganorsa has,
not a bad idea.
Yeah,
or Cuba fudge market.
I think Aganorsa has the flavor spectrum and the complexities and the building strength that could match.
So what's another Cuban Churchill that you like?
From the H. Upman Sir Winston, I will put Bolivar Gigante on there.
The Corona Gigante is a good one. Hey, yeah,
that's the stronger side of Cuba stuff, right?
If you're near Greensboro, I could leave my bunker and give you one.
Yeah.
Because if I want to leave my bunker. Max is like, I'm not telling you anywhere near where I am.
No, I'm here for a little bit. I'll meet you up somewhere.
Are you really? So what are you doing in North Carolina?
Just visiting a college friend.
Oh, nice. But,
just visiting.
Yeah.
Visiting some accounts. It's like sort of manage the factory from video calls. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then, here's a question about Casa Fernandez, too, really quick. Do you guys still make Casa Fernandez Lanceros?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got those.
Do you?
Yeah, they're still made in Miami.
Oh, they're made in Miami now.
That's one thing. You're asking about the Miami factory and the Nicaragua factory. Like, we haven't touched the Miami stuff in Miami. We haven't moved any to Nicaragua. And that was like a conscious decision. But so it's consistent from what it's been before. And that size, it's still is available in like small quantities.
Do you know who carries them?
Should I have to get back to you on that?
I'm just curious because I mean that's. I asked June. I don't. June, have you ever smoked the Casa Fernandez Lanceros?
Yeah, it's really good. It's.
Can't find them. It's awesome. Yeah, I can't find
it. Yeah, that was one of our favorite blends from before because it was blended by four guys, and one of them was the guy who blended Cohiba back in Cuba. This guy called Picalillo. Anyways, it was blended by like four master blenders, that one. So it's there won't be anything Casa Fernandez like that one again.
That's just the other one of yours, the original Casa Fernandez Miami Reserve when it was just the Toro, just the one size back in 2011. Those 15 count boxes.
Yeah, it's Medio Tiempo too.
Yeah, it is. And I bought a lot of those boxes, a lot.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of unopened boxes. And those are aging.
Right, well, maybe if we meet up, you'll tell me. Like, I'd like to hear more of your perspective on those cigars and on the Cuban stuff. So maybe we can check some of it out.
If you have time, you have to come to I'm a member of the Davidoff Club. It's a really cool lounge, and you can get wine or beer or bourbon or anything you want. We can smoke good stuff.
Right.
Well, this.
If you're in the Bay Area, man, let me know.
Don't ever go to the Bay Area. Don't ever visit you.
Yeah, got tired of it.
If you ever want to see this shiny Asian skin, you feel free to go to the Bay Area and check me out.
It's like, look at that porcelain skin. It's June. Look at those hands.
Yeah, I'm very pale.
All the fog.
Yeah, it's the fog.
The fog, you'll see.
It's just fog. Never mind. The fog, yeah, you're right.
Fog. F-O-G. Schmuck.
This is one of those things where you're like, we're all equally intelligent. No, we're not. Look at June.
We haven't even got into more drinks, into spirits, but it could develop further. Well, I really appreciate it, guys.
Yeah. We'll
definitely connect again.
Max, thanks for coming on. This was by far probably one of the best.
It was a fun little intro.
Yeah. We'll think of more topics, and as they come up, we'd love to talk more about it with you. So,
yeah, I mean,
if you ever want to come on,
what is it? Always Tuesdays?
No, it's week. You name a day, we'll pick it. We'll make it happen. So, it's one of those things where. But if you're ever like, hey, June, Seth, I really just want to come down and shoot this shit.
No, it's we'll been some fun bullshit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll be us with the best of us. But you have a life. I'm living in a bunker. June's in California. Go do what you got to do.
Well, so. The bunker does seem smart if the Putin thing gets any different. But I'm going to...
Oh, the Putin thing? Yeah, Putin's got nothing on this bunker. This baby's packed with beer and tobacco. And that's about it. So that's all we got.
All right, guys.
But, hey, we'll grow some tobacco in Virginia together. Thanks for coming on, Max.
Yeah, so what, your farm's just over the state line, more or less?
Do you know where Lexington, Virginia is?
No, but I'll check it out.
it's south of there.
What's the soil like? What are they growing there in the past?
We grew grass. No, it's, I mean, they have a, I don't know. We can do some soil tests for it. I'll get some soil tests for it.
We'll no, that's one step. That's what Jeff did in Corona.
But we have to do soil
anyways,
tests.
One day.
One day. We'll make it happen. June, remember this. Well, everyone, that was one of our with Max from Cass Fernandez.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Max. Take it easy.
Have a good night. See ya.
You too. Before we go out there, I just want to say that was fucking epic.
We're still on.
Dude.
That was
amazing shit. We're closing this. What a Margo. Cass Fernandez.